Yes, please.
If you don't mind, I'm going to opt to stand up front here and give you your next arrest. Also, it's closer to the exit.
That's important.
Well, the Clean Groundwater Team was tasked to address measurable goal number 3, and they prepared the project charter that's in the staff report you're looking at. And the goal that that was developed for us, it was by 2025, 80% of groundwater will be clean, and the remaining 20% will exhibit positive trends in the key parameters. And one of the first things that we really had trouble with grappling with was, well, what's clean groundwater? And essentially, we kind of came up with a really overriding description of that, and it's footnoted on there, and it's in the staff report. And it's essentially that groundwater be suitable for all existing and potential beneficial uses. And then we also wanted to look at it with regard to the fact that if we already have groundwater basins that have quality that's better than the standards for those beneficial uses, that we want to maintain that quality. And that's kind of the perspective that we approached from. Now, I'd also like to take this opportunity to emphasize this is really a huge team effort, not just on a team, but I think office-wide. And I'd like to point out in particular that the former team leader, Taya Tryon, I just recently took over from her, but she was really instrumental in keeping us all focused and directed up to this point. And I'm kind of in a position to receive all the glory, but I think she deserves a lot of the credit, as well as all the other team members.
How's he doing, Taya?
Great.
He is? Okay, good.
Maz, you've already noted, I think, in looking at the staff report and reviewing the project charters, and based on the discussion we're having so far, it's pretty apparent that there's some common themes that the teams have come up with that are all linked to sustainable land management practices towards protecting our aquatic habitats and our groundwater basins. And I think the fact that we all individually kind of came up with these overlapping themes with sustainable land management, it validates this process, and it kind of helps unify us towards, moving towards attaining these goals that we've developed for ourselves. As a result, the four vision teams are now starting to coordinate with each other on a more frequent basis, as well as, we're having coordination staff-wide and programmatically through the office, and it kind of touches on your question about, the transfer of this information to the programs that are using them. We're starting to do that. All the three teams identified one of the key things we needed to do was increase our internal cross-communication. And then we're also looking at doing that externally as well, as Michael talked about. And so that's really on the forefront of what we're trying to do with this process. I don't know, some of you have probably seen this picture. I think it's a great picture. I don't know if it's been doctored or not. It's a beautiful picture. But the reason I put it up here is I think it's a good metaphor for what we're trying to do here with the vision process. I think historically we've kind of been operating at the tip of the iceberg level, and now we're trying to get this bigger picture perspective with regard to our watersheds and our groundwater basins and really look at how we can better protect those resources. On a groundwater scale, I think this is an even better metaphor because, depending on what study you're looking at, between about 75 and 83% of the agricultural, domestic, and municipal water supply within our region is derived from groundwater resources. So, this is kind of the picture, big part of the picture we really haven't been looking at, I think, historically when we're talking about protecting our groundwater resources. Now, our regional dependence on groundwater is only going to become greater with time as we have more development in the region. And with that, the balance between water quality and water supply is going to become more strained. Now, although on the surface, I think our authority regarding water supply and over water supplies, it seems kind of limited. But as Dan had mentioned, the nexus between supply and quality is really good. I mean, they go hand in hand. And so what we're trying to do is kind of bridge that traditional gap in protecting our groundwater resources. That's not only by limiting the contaminant loading that's going in to our basins and by cleaning them up, but also by trying to increase the amount of fresh water inputs into the groundwater basins while at the same time trying to advocate sustainable use of our groundwater resources. Now, with this perspective in mind, I just want to discuss a couple of the bigger picture groundwater issues that we identified and that we're kind of working on at this point, and some of the actions we're taking is part of the clean groundwater team in coordination with the other teams. So this is a compilation of nitrate data in a large number of wells throughout our region. And it spans a time period of about 1976 to 2001 on the left axis here. I'm sorry, these are hard to see, but this is the nitrate concentration in milligrams per liter. And for reference, the red line is the drinking water standard of 45 milligrams per liter. Overall, what it looks like here is we have an increasing trend in nitrate concentrations in groundwater. I just want to point out, though, that the data, when we go through each of these different time phases, we're sampling an increasing number of wells. So this peak over here is likely partially an artifact of us sampling more wells that have higher concentrations. But I don't think that really negates the fact that there's a significant number of wells in our region that have very high nitrate concentrations in them. In some cases, over four times the drinking water standard. The other thing, we followed one well through the time series, and it does show a rather striking increase in nitrate concentrations over time. What I really want to emphasize with this slide is the importation and the concentration of inorganic contaminants in our groundwater basins, and particularly with regard to total dissolved solids, sodium, chloride, and nitrate. And this is a trend that we're generally seeing on a basin-wide scale in areas of high intensive and historical agricultural activity, but we're also seeing these types of trends on a more localized scale near our point source wastewater discharges. Now, we're currently working with the assessment team to gather and compile and evaluate nitrate and total dissolved solids data for our entire region. We're currently focusing on a pilot study area, which I'll talk about in a minute. The Ag Waiver Program is currently in kind of the initial grant funding and stakeholder outreach stages for an irrigation and nutrient management program for our entire region that will try to address this nutrient issue. And we're also looking at expanding on our efforts that we've currently been applying to our waste discharge requirements for standard nutrient and salt management plan provisions as well. Now, this data is going to be gathered, that we're gathering is to be used to help prioritize our implementation of these measures within the region and hopefully and ultimately to evaluate our success towards our vision goal. Now, one of the things I keep in mind here is that we're really going to have to be diligent and patient when we're looking at these types of big picture issues with regard to nutrients and salt, because it's going to take a very long time to reverse this trend, and these have occurred over many decades, and some of us may not see any significant changes in our lifetime for some of these constituents in our basins. Now, we're also developing a master list of other organic contaminants, if you will, for assessment of our groundwater basins. And I put together this collage just to kind of represent the varied number of organic contaminants that we're going to be looking at. You know, we've got herbicides and pesticides from our commercial and residential applications. Pharmaceutical and other emerging contaminants from our municipal and domestic wastewater discharges, as well as volatile organic compounds and fuel components from industrial and commercial activities within our region. Now, basically, we want to evaluate and track as many of these contaminants as possible within our region over time, and we're working with the assessment unit to kind of develop this list and start doing this. And we've already got a pretty good idea of what types of land uses are associated with what types of contamination issues, but I think us being able to overlay land use maps with groundwater data on a basin-wide level kind of help us define or make the nexus between those two, and it'll help us more proactively go after these issues on kind of a basin-wide scale and try to address them to achieve our goals. And so we're currently coordinating with the assessment team and the aquatic habitat team to kind of come up with land use practice measures to address these issues, as well as looking at starting to coordinate with the local agencies for implementing local ordinances as well. Now, this is a map from the Monterey County Draft General Plan, and what it shows is the potential aquifer recharge areas. This is the Highway 101, Salinas River Corridor here. I think that's King City, obviously Salinas, Monterey. And the potential recharge areas are shown in the light green areas. And down in here, they primarily are associated with the riparian corridors. We also see some larger areas up here in the Prunedale area, as well as the Monterey Peninsula, the marina, and the seaside groundwater basins. And one of the biggest things that we realized that one of the best ways that we could try to protect and restore groundwater bases is by protecting our recharge areas. And this is kind of a two-pronged approach. And one is to prohibit certain types of land uses or activities within the recharge areas to prevent the contamination, but also to get more fresh water back into the groundwater basins. And this is also going to go a long way towards repairing our aquatic habitats as well by increasing the amount of base flow. And I think Dan and Peter both kind of showed that with the hydromodification graphs that they showed. Now, we're currently gathering recharge area information and in an effort to develop our own regional map of recharge areas. The problem is this is going to take quite some time, probably several years. And so we're also intending to put together basin plan language that will require the identification and the protection of these areas. And this is something that we'll be able to implement on a project-by-project or a sub-basin kind of level. And we can do this to help us leverage the amount of work that's done. And then we'll also have language in place to protect these areas once they're identified. You know, originally we were thinking we were going to do all the assessment and then mapping first and then do the protection, but we're going to try to do both of them concurrently. This is a Department of Water Resources area map for the northern portion of the Santa Maria Groundwater Basin. And this, keep my hand off the button there. This wedge here and the three colored areas that we're looking at are contiguous sub-basins of a portion of the adjudicated part of the Santa Maria Groundwater Basin. And it's bounded by Highway 101 here, Santa Maria River, and the Pacific Ocean here. And basically, one of the biggest things that we're working on right now is developing a pilot study to assess and evaluate our groundwater basins that we can use as a model to apply regionally. And this is a really good opportunity for us right now using this area for our pilot study, because the U.S. Geological Survey and the State Water Resources Control Board are in the initial stages of a groundwater ambient monitoring assessment, or a GAMA study. I think many of you are probably familiar with that term, for large portions of our region that include this area. So we're currently focusing our efforts on coordinating with the USGS and State Board staff on this GAMA study project so we can get our assessment needs implemented as part of this GAMA study, as well as focusing on various activities that are associated with the pilot study itself. And just for a little more information, this is an overlay of the pilot study area on an aerial map, just to kind of give you an idea of what it looks like. And again, this 101, Salinas River and the coast. You can see the Oceano Dunes here, Tri-Cities area.
Matt,
you know, there's...
Sorry, did you say the Salinas River? That's Santa Maria or Santa...
I'm sorry, Santa Maria River. Did I say Salinas?
Yeah,
the Santa Maria River.
You said this was adjudicated. Is adjudicated in the sense of saying who has water rights to it?
Yeah, my understanding is that portions of the Santa Maria Groundwater Basin were in overdraft. Uh-huh. And the trend is actually reversed in some cases, because what they decided to do because of the overdraft, as well as some of the salt concentration limits they had. They imported, they decided to get state water in. And so now they're importing the water for most of the municipal use versus relying on the groundwater basin.
So are the those who are permitted to take the groundwater, are they involved in this planning?
Yeah. There's a stakeholder outreach that Dean Thomas in particular is focusing on the pilot study efforts. And that's one of the things that he's tasking to do is to try to coordinate with all the local folks to see what their concerns and what their issues are so we can kind of fold them into our pilot study.
Okay.
Were you also thinking about the gamma, the groundwater work that Matt mentioned as far as involvement of the well users?
Yeah. Okay. I mean, because it seems like they should be more involved than just a few stakeholder meetings or something.
Right. Do you know with Matt, do you know with the GAMMA program, if they have a database of all the permitted well users?
I'm not sure with the database. I know Angela may be able to better answer that question.
Thank you.
So they're being individually contacted?
The initial outreach is very broad to all the permitted well users.
And are they contributing financially at all?
No, GAMMA is funded by Prop 50.
But with this, I just want to highlight a couple other points. And one of the reasons, along with the you know the fortuitous timing of the GAMMA study, is it's a manageable size basin that we can look at. We can try to scale up on a regional scale. There's varied land uses. You can see we've got ag uses. We've got some rural areas in here, more developed areas, open space. This is also the Guadalupe oil field site. There's the oil field, the refinery that's up in here. So we've got all these mixed land uses, and it's kind of a good model that we can look at. There's also potential recharge issues along the foothills here, as well as within the Santa Maria Rivers, also Flaco Creek here, was it Los Bueros Creek, and then Arroyo Grande Creek's coming down through here. This area is also ripe for internal cross-program coordination with the Oso Flaco, or the Oso Flaco Creek Watershed TMDL for nutrients that is kind of in the initial phases as well, and also the ag waiver inspection work that's being conducted down in here. So we're also coordinating internally and then looking at all the other potential cleanup sites like gas stations and things of that nature so we can kind of get a big picture perspective. And so the take home here is what we want to do is develop a model for basin-wide groundwater assessment and protection that we can kind of use the ground truth how we're going to do this on a regional scale and then start picking at our basins and being able to prioritize our efforts in protecting and restoring a lot of these areas. Now I'd like to leave you with a really neat three-dimensional representation of nitrate data throughout our region that Cecile put together. And that was probably a really good time for you to get out your three-dimensional glasses here. Now, y'all got the email about bringing your own? No? That's no matter, because it's only about 2 minutes, so I think we can all take turns watching it on an individual basis. Or if you focus one eye on the exit sign and one eye on the screen, you'll probably get the same effect that I will, which is you won't be able to see much. You get a glaring headache. All fun aside, this is really kind of an interesting tool, and we're starting to kind of look at a lot of different ways we can graphically represent some of the information putting together and use and prioritizing our efforts. And Cecile deserves all the credit on this.
Thank you, Matt. I just want to preface this animation that you're going to see so you know what you're going to be looking at instead of just seen some pretty pictures. Essentially, what we've been doing is, as part of the groundwater assessment team, is to see what sort of data we currently have in house and take this data and see how we can visualize it on a regional basis. So, we have gone back into our databases from the past and have made it, have created this model. And what you'll see is a fly-through of the region. And what is depicted is mean nitrate values. So it's nitrate as nitrate over a certain period of time. And we've calculated the mean value of nitrate in those wells. And you'll see some of the peaks of the wells showing what the mean value is of the groundwater well. Another thing that you'll see in it is a gauge. And the gauge is the California maximum contaminant limit for drinking water for nitrate. So what you'll be seeing is the mean nitrate. And then this green bar, which I'm going to have to point out to you because it's really hard to see, but I'll point it out to you so you can gauge to see what the current drinking water MCL is compared to what the mean nitrate values are the mean nitrate values that are shown in our current groundwater system. So, and so here we come down into our region. And as you can see, some of the data is still kind of limited. There's nothing in the Santa Barbara area. We just need to put it, get it into the database. But here's the different well values. And again, the peaks show the mean concentration of nitrate in each of these wells. And I'll show you, see that little green bar right there? And it's kind of hard to see.
Yeah.
But there's a peak, and that equates to the maximum contaminant limit for nitrate in groundwater. And you can see how some of these wells here are definitely above it. And here's another green peak right there. So that's the Royal Grande area, San Luis, Morro Bay. There's a little green bar over there. Here we're coming into Atascadero, up in the Paso Robles area. It appears that we need to get some more data in this valley. I'm sure there's probably some of it there, but again, we're still in the assessment of data stage right now. And another thing you'll notice is that most of our data is within the corridor of the freeway, and where it's populated areas. We don't have any in the mountain ranges, which would be expected. And then zooming into the Monterey area, you still see some peaks over here coming just south of Salinas. Here's Monterey, Seaside, I believe. Here we have the Elkhorn Slough area. That's questionable. Here's our little green gauge again. Santa Cruz, and then here's the whole Gilroy area, Morgan Hill. Back over here, San Benito. So that was just kind of a quick model.
Vertigo.
You can do the same thing for mine.
Okay. Everyone, put your hands up when we do that.
Oops.
That's pretty neat, Cecile.
You get it from me. It better be.
I just have.
The green bar that you referred to, Cecile, you disappeared back there, versus the vertical distance implied in the purple bars, what does that mean? What is the purple? Is that amount of information or is that amount of nitrate?
Yeah, what basically the vertical purple bar is the mean concentration of nitrate in that groundwater monitoring well. So the green is a comparison of at the height of that green bar is where we want to be. We want to be below that green bar. So anything above that is...
That's the drinking water standard.
That's the drinking
water. The green bar is the drinking water standard. The other bars, the purple bars, were substantially higher than that throughout the region. So what it's showing us is we have a major nitrate problem throughout our entire region. Mm. And it's getting worse.
Okay, can you hear me?
Yep.
I'm plugged in.